This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You've got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal.
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
To make your dream of owning your own business a reality, we're here to help you do just that on Startup Nation Radio. Today's show feature, listen, we're always talking about startup companies. How about hearing from a couple of entrepreneurs who are running companies now, each over 100 years old? Are you kidding me? How do you do that? Well, stick around. We're going to find out how. Maybe you can learn a thing or two about how to make your business stick around for 100 years. Wouldn't that be cool to pass it on to your sons and daughters and even your grandkids? We're going to hear how to do it on Startup Nation Radio. Great show ahead.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, another great edition of Startup Nation Radio here. We, in the introduction, teed up the show to say that we're always talking about startup companies and how you get a company started, how you plan to create a company, maybe how you get it rolling in its early stages. Well, today we're going to hear from a couple of entrepreneurs running companies that are each over 100 years old. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you know, what a cool thing not only to start a company, to pass it along to sons and daughters and grandkids and so on. That's something to be proud of, and that works. Let me acknowledge our sponsors. We're going to get right into the subject matter, but before we do, Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. My good friend Norm, you're in the studio today.
I am.
You are, Norm. It's great to have you, as always. Listen, Pappas Financial, Norm, has been a trusted advisor to business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for business owners to ultimately transfer their hard-earned gains to their estate. We're actually something we're going to be talking about today a little bit. Get started right and stay on track. To help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to them at 248-539-8292 and tell them Startup Nation sent you. Well, okay, Norm, we got a great show ahead.
Yeah, we have two very interesting men with great histories, even though they're young.
And you know, as we said, as we kind of teed the subject matter up, starting a company is one thing. That's hard enough. But having it stick around for 10, 20, 50, 100 years?
70% of all businesses fail to get to the second generation, 85% to the third generation. We're talking about fourth generation people, particularly at Madison Electric, and we have Brett Schneider and Andy Schmina, so we're going to hear some interesting things.
Well, we are indeed, and speaking of Brett and Andy, let's bring them on Startup Nation Radio. Guys, Brett, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Andy?
Yes.
All right.
You.
Andy's on the construction side. Brett's on the electrical.
Madison Electric.
Yep. So
electrical and plumbing distribution.
Okay.
There we go. And Andy from AZ Schmina Incorporated on the construction side. Guys, good to have you on Startup Nation Radio.
It's good to be here.
No, thank you for having us.
Yeah, great. Andy, tell us a little bit about your company quickly.
Okay, our company was founded in 1916 right here in Detroit, Michigan, and we do commercial, industrial, institutional construction. So it was founded by my grandfather, and we've had a long history in Detroit. And one of our landmark buildings is the Detroit Water Board building that's still here in downtown Detroit. So we've built a lot of interesting landmarks, and we've done the same type of work over three generations.
What a cool thing.
Yeah.
Did you always know growing up that you were going to be, I mean, did you think you might do something different, or did you always know you were going to be part of that company?
Well, I think I was born and bred to run a construction company. So my grandfather and my father were very much, you know, talking about the company. It's a family business. It's provided jobs for a lot of people in our family and in the community. So it was always, yes, definitely. I was worked in the construction business since 14, as my dad did. He started when he was 14. So we're working people. We work, you know, it's all about working hard and then going to college, getting a degree in civil engineering and learning the business from the ground up. So it's been a great thing, and it's great fun.
Great stuff. Amazing. And the sense of pride must be incredible.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing when you're doing your own thing. It's another thing when you're not only doing your own thing, but doing something that the family name has been stamped on now for 100 years. You know, that carries with it a lot of burden, frankly.
Right.
But a heck of a lot of pride.
Yeah, definitely responsibility, yeah. Responsibility. And pride. So.
Yeah. Great, great stuff. Brad, tell us about Madison Electric.
Madison was founded in 1914 by my great-grandfather, Morris Bloomberg. After working in the industry for about 12 years, he started his own electrical distributorship in Detroit. He had one location. His wife was the bookkeeper, and he used the streetcars as his logistics system or his delivery system. He brought one of his brothers in about 2 years later, Max Bloomberg, and the two brothers became partners and have grown to the point now where we have 34 locations in the state of Michigan, 10 divisions, and two companies.
Incredible.
Operating under Madison Electric, who's 100 years old, and Standard Electric, that's 85 years old. Sorry.
And what about you, Brad? I mean, were you, you know, do you think maybe I'll break out and do something different, or was it always for you kind of the same? It's in your DNA.
I think it was in my DNA. Throughout high school and college, every summer I was working in the warehouse, kind of learning the business from the ground up. So, you know, we have a saying that the business, you don't find the business, it finds you. So you start to get a sense of pride with the culture and understanding the responsibility, yet the opportunity that you have to carry on this legacy through now four generations.
And it doesn't happen that often. I mean, it's one thing, Norman, we go to, you know, think of what we're going to do on a particular show. Oh, to be candid, there's lots of startup subject matter you can talk about. There's not a lot of 100-year-old companies you can go out and talk about, are there?
No, and they're versatile, and be interesting to hear how they change through the years. Andy's father still comes down to work, not sure what he does. Brett's father unfortunately passed away a year ago, fantastic guy, and they have been a family business for many, many years. So very interesting ways they've worked together, and then how do they do business?
Yeah. And speaking of Pappas Financial, you know, and succession planning and all the rest, something, a subject matter that's near and dear to you, you've helped guide these companies in part, along the succession planning, tell us how Pappas Financial might be a player in helping someone get to 100 years and doing it right.
Well, if they have their plan out, if something happened to any one of the participants, usually they're protected. They may be insured and bought out, and then you have to protect the wives and the other family members. It's really complicated who works in the business, who doesn't work in the business. And Madison, you could write a book on what they've done. And Andy and Shmina, you know, they're a smaller company, you know, 30 employees. Madison's got 400 employees. So those are interesting distinctions as well.
Well, incredible. All right, guys. Now we've heard a little bit about your backgrounds, what it takes to become a 100-year-old company. Now what I want to do is, when we come back after this break, guys, I want to roll up our sleeves and go to work. I want to hear how you make it happen. I want to start to drill down to, you know, even stuff like company politics. I mean, you must have other siblings, you know. How do those roles get figured out? Who gets what? Who does what? I mean, this is going to be interesting stuff. So after this break, we're going to learn a thing or two about making it work. Mm-hmm. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, today we're focused on how you not only get a company started, but how you have it stick around for a few years, a decade, two, maybe a century. Amazing. Norm Pappas, co-host, sitting in the co-host seat over there. Norm, great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
This is subject matter near and dear to you, and these are a couple of guys near and dear to you, too.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. So, Norm, let's start to drill down here a little bit. In order to get a company to have, you know, to get a company started is one thing. To get it rolling and growing is another thing. To get it to have the kind of legs where it sticks around this long, how do you do that?
So the answers should come from the guys, our guests here today, because people still do a lot of business with you guys. What are they, why? You know, what
That's
do they
question.
See that
yeah.
you guys are doing?
I mean, obviously, it's all about business, right? Why do customers keep coming back to you guys? What's the secret sauce there?
Well, for us, it's all about business or relationships and performance. So we have a lot of repeat customers. We do a lot of work for various universities like the University of Michigan and Michigan State. Very demanding customers. So they pre-qualify you. And in order to stay active there, you have to be able to perform. So it's about hard work and we have a saying here, you're only as good as your last job.
That's so true.
So it's like every job is a new opportunity to prove yourself and to excel. So it's very important that we perform on every single contract. So we're contract based, so we don't have a lot of residual business, in other words. So every contract is another opportunity to succeed or
So I'm curious about that. Mm-hmm. What you're really focused on is when we asked about the customers, you're really talking about existing customers and keeping those existing customers. And I mean, they always say the best customer is an existing customer, and you're focused on keeping them coming back to you and doing more with you. The next time they need some contract work, they come to you.
Right.
What about, how would you break down being a business that's been around for a while, how much new business you guys do versus servicing an existing client base?
Well, it depends on what's going on in the economy. I'd say right now, there's definitely, in the last 5 years with the economic downturn, we've definitely wanted to, you have to keep all the customers you have. And that's our number one metric as to how we're doing is if we're getting repeat business. And then the type of customers that we work for are big institutions that have a numerous amounts of different projects and needs on their campuses and buildings.
You know, that jumped out at me right there. Keeping your a strong, if you want to be around for 100 years, mm-hmm. or if you want to be around for 10 years, keeping a strong customer base that you can count on to keep coming back to you and keep doing business with you, that's like a foundational customer base that really facilitates that happening. And then you can, in terms of growth, then you can reach out to new business to expand from there. What about Madison Electric, Brett?
I'd say most of our success is based on all the associates we have. We're unique in the 100 years. We have about 100 multi-generational associates. So, in fact, we have a...
What's a multi-generational associate?
Their father worked for Madison, and now the son or daughter works for Madison. We have
Sales associates.
Sales, warehouse people.
I see.
Inside sales, outside sales, account management.
Yeah.
So we actually have a person that just started with us last year whose grandfather worked for the company.
Mm.
His father worked for the company. His uncle works for the company. So we try to have the best people we can in our industry. Ironically, there's nothing we do differently than a lot of other distributors do, so we have to do it better, and we have to have the best people to do that.
That's really interesting because, we talk about keeping your customer base solid, but keeping your team in place, and not only keeping your team in place, but the key employees who take pride in the company, that translates ultimately to business, doesn't it? I mean, the touch point that a customer has is many times with the people that work for you.
Right.
And our service that they provide. Yeah.
I say our average length of employee is about 22 years.
That's amazing.
Madison, so.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal.
Those are some key hallmarks. Keeping accounts, keeping employees, incredible. What about, one of the things to stick around for 100 years, you probably have to ward off offers to be purchased. So I'm curious about that. I mean, if you guys, you've decided to stay in business as opposed to selling your business, if you had offers?
I haven't personally had offers. Contracting businesses are hard to buy and sell. So for us, it's the value in employment and working. And it provides, the great thing about a construction company, provides a lot of employment opportunities for a lot of people in your family and your sphere.
Exactly.
So I like him, we have a lot of people that have worked for us for a long time. They are like family. And we're looking to have them have more opportunities to succeed and to grow.
We call that a lifestyle business,
right.
Really where you're really focused on not just growing it and selling it, but you're focused on providing jobs for your family and for a long time and employees that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brett, have you guys?
Yes, we get quite a few offers a year, but we've been blessed that Morris and Max had set down a philosophy that we wanted to always maintain to be a privately held family business. We're fortunate that there's always been a generation willing to take on the responsibility from the older generation. And the best part is we've always had the older generation has always been willing to put the next generation in a position to thrive and succeed.
Yeah.
So the succession planning is always there to make sure we're not hampered by a lot of debt or that we're always state-of-the-art on computer systems or buildings. And so the next generation starts out pretty clean.
What about companies getting stale? Product lines getting stale, getting bored of your work even, employees getting, not the employees themselves getting stale, but the coming to work every day getting stale. How do you ward off things just getting old and getting getting complacent, kind of living off the way the company's rolling as opposed to really coming in and pushing hard every day? How do you deal with that?
For us, it's been the economy is keeping us on our toes because it's been up and down, and we've had to really work hard to, you know, reinvent ourselves and go after different types of construction. You know, we used to be a big self-perform company doing a big concrete masonry. And as that's declined, the type of, there's not been as much of self-perform and big reinforced concrete masonry buildings. We'd have to go more towards construction management. So we have a different type of employee working for us, more of a project management type, as opposed to back in the day, it would be more like a lot of tradespeople, bricklayers and carpenters and that type. So we don't employ as many of those as we have in the past, but we employ more project management, college educated type people.
Mm-hmm. And so, continuing to innovate, right? I mean, you've got it.
Right.
Yeah, right. To stay ahead of the curve.
You know, the internet's changed everything and how we communicate, and a lot of general contracting is pulling together teams, so it's all about communication and, uh-huh. and the whole, it used to be the cell phone was a major innovation, believe it, and how you can
right.
keep track of things, but now it's like all this instantaneous communication is, you have to keep innovating along those lines.
Yeah. And Brett, you guys, I mean,
well, I think competition keeps you on your toes every day.
That's a good point.
Our customers, we have great customer base, a lot of customers, but they continually strive to have you exceed their expectations, and so either you're going to do it or your competition is going to do it. So that yeah. keeps you going and motivated every day.
Yeah. You know, speaking of competition, one of the things we wanted to make sure we hit on, it's interesting, competition can be a good thing, obviously, and competition can be a bad thing. It can be a good thing because it keeps you on your toes and keeps you sharp and focused every day. Otherwise, you can get your clock cleaned, right? So that's good. On the bad side, as it relates to especially companies who've been around for a while, because things can tend to get stale or bureaucratic or same old, or you're in your tried and true ways of doing your business, whereas new startup companies, others that come in and they're sharper, they're smaller, they're more nimble, able to innovate, forward thinking, new thinking. That's threatening.
They innovate. These two companies are pretty good.
So that's a key, right? That's how you beat that.
Yeah, and they it'd be interesting as we go to the next segment, possibly, you know, how they interrelate with other people that have been in the business for a long time. Particularly, Madison Electric has done an outstanding job, in larger company. And but they have to be nimble, even though they're 100 years
right,
old.
Right.
Yep.
Well, we know, even looking at big Fortune 500 companies, it's great to be a Fortune 500 company because the resources, the brand name, the recognition, the customer base, all the things we're talking about. But there's no question those guys are thinking every day, and they're looking over their shoulders about where's the threat, the disruptive threat going to come from. And a lot of times it comes from these upstarts that, you wouldn't even expect it, and they come charging out of the blocks because they've got some innovative thinking. So you really do have to, that'll keep you motivated.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What do you guys do? Do you do anything internally to encourage and inspire innovation? I mean, are you focused on programs within the company to award innovation?
Well, definitely. What competition, as people have said to me, competition is a very good thing. It keeps you on your toes. In construction, there's thousands of construction companies, so we have to be on our toes. We're constantly reevaluating how we do things, our processes, and you have to keep reinventing it. And as you go through these economic downturns, you tend to blow up what you've been doing and restart over. And then what he's saying too, we have our customers are pushing us very hard. They're pushing us to innovate. And if we have to stay two steps ahead of our competition. So we're constantly looking over our shoulder. The good thing is that we are small enough that where we don't have a stultifying bureaucracy where we are. So we've got a lot of good people. And I like to have a combination of experienced people and young people coming in. So I like to
constantly be
hiring young people. And then people other from other organizations too to bring new ideas to make sure that we're keeping up with things and innovating properly.
Brett, what about you guys? Yeah.
Well, we're always looking for new disciplines mm-hmm. to sell. About 15 years ago, we were able to get into the plumbing market. So through either retail, commercial, and industrial plumbing, it hasn't shifted us because we've maintained our revenue base in the electrical side as well. But that's a whole new product offering that we're able to offer to existing customers.
Okay. Well, we're going to go out to a break here, take care of our sponsors for a quick little break. We're going to come back. I'm really curious to hear, when you guys have the exposure and experience you did over the span that you have. Now, of course, you guys haven't been at these companies all this time, but your family has, and it's been passed on. You've observed a lot. As you say, it's in your DNA. I want to know how business has changed. I have a hunch about that, but I'm curious to know some things that, you know, really jump out about how business is different today than it was, generally speaking, to 1916. So we're going to hear from each of you guys right after the break about that and more on Startup Nation Radio. Stick with us.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, great show today focused on not only how you start a company, but how you keep it around for a few years, maybe 100? All right, well, we're talking to two entrepreneurs whose families have done just that. First, let's call out our sponsors, Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial, great sponsors of Startup Nation Radio and the entrepreneurial community. So, Norm. Before we went out to the break, we kind of teased this segment. Let's start by following on the question we ended the last segment with, which was, how has business changed? Andy.
Well, I would say the more it's changed, the more it's stayed the same. Yeah. Because it's all about customer service. It's all about performance. It's about doing what you say you're going to do. So we make commitments as contractors all the time. We make contract commitments, time commitments, performance commitments. And we always have. So that it's amazing to me how similar it is. And when you look back at old construction contracts, sure, it's gotten more legal and more complex in
that
aspect. But as far as performance and the actual construction process has not changed all that much, although the buildings are a little bit different. But, you know, the process of putting together a building and then contracting is all about guaranteeing price, performance, time, schedule, quality, safety.
Yep. Brett, what about you guys?
I would say the biggest change is speed, the velocity that customers are requiring, everything from a quote to be done to a order to be delivered. Same day delivery now is no longer an exception. It's almost, it's becoming a rule.
It's the norm. Yeah, it's become the norm. Speed. I think that's what technology has done. That is the thing that's changed most, I think you hit on just now, is the pace and the speed at which business is done today, has to be done today, if you're going to stay in business. The pressure to, it's unbelievable. The facilitators in technology and everything else is forcing that kind of acceleration on the pace at which you need to do business.
Right. What we used to think was exceeding customers' expectations now is the expected norm, and so now you have to go to the next level and the next level. And get to the next level requires more speed and velocity.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you have 24-hour communication, so it's like your cell phone's on it. You're doing emails at 2 o'clock in the morning and all over the weekend and everything. So you have to be available 24/7. So that's
some of the window dressing and the cosmetics have changed, it's interesting. Business is really the same. I mean, got to get the customer, got to get the word out, got to do your marketing, got to do your sales, got to get the customer, you got to keep the customer, good customer service, you got to deliver the good product or service that you have promised you're going to deliver. You need to collect and get paid, and you got to have some repeat business, right? Business is business, and it always has been. The fundamentals are the same.
So, listen, Andy and Brett, they're young, but they're not rookies. They both, Andy 20 years, Brett 23 years. What would be interesting is how did they get started and then rise to be the presidents and leaders of the companies?
I think that's interesting. We know that now that they were, they had it kind of all along that they were going to be in their family business, but navigating those waters, guys. I mean, the whole silver spoon phenomenon. I mean, how do you become a leader? How do you, because you're privileged, right? In quotes, privileged, and it's a tough assignment to earn the leadership and the respect of your teams.
So, what did you do to start?
So, what we did is work. You know, my dad always says it's the world of work. It doesn't matter what you do, but you got to get up and work. So the first thing was get up and work. So we started working in the yard, and then I had a wonderful internship where I worked in the summers as a laborer. I was a member of a union, Local 334, and we worked on a variety of really cool construction projects, automotive, hospitals, industrial facilities, and that sort of thing, all the while getting a degree in civil engineering. So that was the first thing is you got to be there early. You got to work harder than everybody else. And then you got to get the degree in civil engineering. And then out of college, it was the same thing. It's just work.
You know, I want to break that down because that's really important stuff. I think having your colleagues, your employees see you, even your customers, see you get your hands dirty right alongside the rest of the team really earns that. That really helps earn the respect. And then you mentioned education. You know, bringing your degree, you mentioned. Bringing new ideas, education that, new ways of doing things that can help lead the company and propel it forward. That's a powerful combination that makes believers out of your team.
You bet.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Brett?
Well, I worked throughout high school career and college, my high school and college in the warehouse, and I went on to get my master's in MBA.
There we have it again. It's the same pattern.
Yep. I did work outside the business for about a year, and when I came back, I kind of had the attitude that I have a master's, I'm ready to go. Dad, Ben, Rick, Scott, his partners, they said, grab a broom. You're in the back.
There you go.
And so I had to be re-educated, but it started in the warehouse. It started learning the product, learning the customers, working side by side with the associates who are doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And about 18 months later, I got to go into the office. So that, I think, helped show the employees that, I was there to work. I'm there to work for them. They don't work for me. I work for them.
Yeah.
And I think they saw that. And the other thing is they see the passion that our family has.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our longevity is because the family has passion, and thus all of our associates have passion in return.
Well, and it sounds like, too, you mentioned when we talked about, keeping customers, you turned it around and said keeping employees, which can lead to keeping customers, which I thought was a great point. In keeping employees, you said average 22 years?
22 years,
22
yes,
years. I mean, obviously, they feel like, extended family, let's call it extended family. I mean, they feel part of the business. They're taking pride in the business. That's just not just job when you're there 22 years, right? I mean,
right, absolutely. And I think they see our passion. They see that we're willing to work for them. They're willing to work for us. So we do treat them like family.
I mean, obviously,
not everyone in family always gets treated. Uh-huh. My father used to walk up behind me and slap me upside the head if I did something wrong. And not that he ever hit anyone else, I swear.
By the way, something that Brett said, I just read an article that customers do business with companies because they see the passion the company has, they're honest, and they have integrity. And that's true for both of these guys in these companies. So
I'll bet also, too, another thing is personal relationship, too. I mean, I'll bet you guys have personal relationships with longstanding customers, right?
You bet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a big part of it, I think. Liking who you work with. I mean, these guys could go to somebody else. I mean, in the end, another thing about business is that it can become commoditized, and price pressures force everyone into similar pricing, let's say. Products are, not everything, especially like in the construction business, there's a lot of creativity involved too, obviously. But you know what I'm saying, and having a personal rapport helps bridge that gap and hang on to those customers.
It's the last thing we want to do is be a commodity type business. And when you're competing just on price alone, then that's just not a good place to be.
It's not. No.
So we definitely want to leverage our relationships, build our relationships. And it's not just my relationship, but it's the whole team. So like you say, having employees that have been here a long time, they have relationships. And everybody's leveraging their relationships and building, bridges to their customers.
So every company always could use more business. So why should people start ringing the phone off the hook? We give a free commercial for you guys. Why have people call you up?
Well, free commercial is first of all, what we do. We're a commercial, industrial, and institutional contractor. So we have a great team. We're great at what we do, and we help people save money. We can help them on their building programs. So, and the best way to reach us is azshmina.com. That's our website. And you can get in there and see the types of work we do, and then send an email message to us.
Well, as long as you're letting me have a commercial plug, I'm going to I've mentioned we've recently gotten into plumbing for the last 15 years, and we actually do that under a different brand name called Widock Supply or Widock Kitchen and Bath. Mm-hmm. And so we have a store in Birmingham and a store in Shelby Township. And again, it's the same thing. We have a high level of customer service. You can come to the showroom. We have designers that will help you lay out bath, kitchen, et cetera. And I think you'd find the experience overwhelming.
And Widock is spelled?
WITTOCK.
Okay.
And widock.com.
And Andy, AZ Shmina's AZS H-M-I-N-A.
You got it.
Okay, great.
By the way, Brett's point is an interesting point. When you have a relationship with clients and you can expand your product line, why wouldn't they want to continue doing business with you, even if it's in a totally different activity? So that's what people do to stay around for 100 years.
Right, well, that gets to that innovating thing, looking for new product extensions, product lines, new brands, new things to carry. You got to be on the cutting edge.
You got it.
You really do. Well, let me ask you guys, you know, we kind of teed it up a little bit earlier about the issues of navigating through the family politics. I mean, Brett, you have siblings that...
In my fourth generation, I have two brothers that are there, and I also have a cousin who is there, and it was from the other brother's descendant. The third generation had my father, and then his three partners were from the other generation. So we have a unique setup that we actually have two families that have maintained this relationship for 100 years.
And that's tricky. I mean, a lot of companies break down. You talk about not making it to 100 years. A lot break down because of family issues, you know, infighting. Right?
We've Definitely. Been very fortunate and have not had that at all. And everyone has a common goal. You check your ego at the door and you do your job.
There you go. Right on. Andy, we're going to get to you on that same subject matter right after the break. Let's head out and hear from our sponsors. And we'll be back with more talking about not only starting a company, but having a go a few decades, maybe even a century. Norm, it's good stuff.
It
Great
is.
Stuff. Good guest you brought in today, Norm. Well, we're going to hear more right after this break. Stick with us.
It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, we're here on this great edition of Startup Nation Radio. Great, because we're not just talking about startup companies today. We're talking about starting and staying alive for a few decades, even up to a century, maybe more. And we've got two great guests in the studio. We've got Norm Pappas as a co-host here on Startup Nation Radio. Norm, you put together a good show today.
Oh, yeah. These guys are terrific.
These guys are terrific. And boy, what a cool, you know, I mean, I'm in the startup business, so I'm always thinking about how you get a company started, how you get it rolling during its initial phases. With our venture development firm, you think about exiting the company by selling it at some point. But the reality is, a few of these companies I've dealt with, I have, and there's one now in our portfolio that I'm highly focused on personally, and I do want to pass it along. That would be such a great thing to be able to pass it along to my kids.
You know, both Andy and Brett have given us a lot of lessons along the way, you know, in terms of competitors, in terms of clients, customers. It'd be interesting what lessons you guys have taken that you would pass on to other people to make their company survive.
And that's part of what we're, you know, drawing out of these guys right now. Lessons about the family navigation we were hitting on right before we went to the break. Andy, what about Brett? We heard you got that handled. Andy. What?
So I have been blessed where I have a father that, he had his father who basically helped set up a second company where he had my father and my uncle were shareholders, and then they brought in some additional partners to round out their thing. So. And then with me, I started another parallel company when it was my turn. So I didn't. And then the other company wound down, and we started ours back up. So I had a father then that was basically very supportive in terms of advice, and he loaned me money to get started, loaned me relationships.
Wow.
But then got out of the way, which was very good. So he's always been there as what we call him, a construction consultant. He's my consultant and my advisor. Mm-hmm. So you know he's always there, but he's never meddling. And when it was his time. When he was done, he backed off and said, "You take over."
Yeah,
and that doesn't happen a lot, so that's a good thing,
right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to be my time, that's like I have to be able to say, "Okay, I have to turn over the reins and let the next generation come up and do their thing." So that's.
Do you guys feel either of you, you know, the kind of the ghosts of your grandfather in one case, great grandfather in the other, these guys that started the companies? Are they looking over your shoulder every day, you know? I mean, yeah, that's like a lot of burden. You know, they started the family company that you're now leading. You don't want it to go south on your watch.
Actually, Brett made a comment about looking at your grandfather's picture. You want to...
My great-grandfather's picture. Every now and then when... I can't imagine the risk and the intestinal fortitude he had to start his own business in 1914 at age of 28. And so every now and then when you think you're having a bad day, I just look at that picture of him and say, you know what? I have it pretty easy. I can't complain. Get back to work.
Has there ever been a moment of anxiety where you say, I'm challenged here. This is a big challenge I'm dealing with, and I don't want to blow this. And you feel, you know, not only blow it for yourself, and you know, and
yes, all the time. We talked about earlier about you're fortunate if you have a younger generation that's willing and understands the responsibility. But yeah, there's a responsibility to your family, to the legacy, but there's also a responsibility to all your associates.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that does, you think about that quite often. And I do have a picture of my father behind me on my desk. And every now and then I turn around and I say, you made it look so easy. I don't get it. But
yeah,
every day you roll up your sleeves, you get to work and you're surrounded by great people. And it becomes an easier task.
You know, in Brett's case, the great people, I mean, and he mentioned Ben and Scott and Rick. So he's got partners and team members that have been there and have great experience. Andy's probably more a little on his own than having that team.
Well, we have a good team as well.
I mean, so, you have a good team, but it's you. You don't have partners.
I don't have personal partners right now. I do have a brother that helps me very much. He's in the business. He runs a lot of our work, a lot of our wastewater work. I have my father. But then beyond that, I have people that work for me that have been here a long time that are.
What about, you know, we've been talking historically, great-grandfather to grandfather to father to you guys, and starting with grandfather in the other case. But what about future? I mean, if future generations from each of your families going to be leading these companies for the next 100 years?
Well, I have a daughter that just started 2 years ago. She works at Widock in the plumbing side. So we do have a fifth generation who is learning the business from the ground up, and we'll see.
Is that important to you?
Yes. It continues the sentiment that we can maintain this as a family-owned private business.
See, that would be important to me. I mean, to get this far, I would want to make sure that we continued.
Yes, and, you know, we've been doing a lot of celebrations for our 100-year anniversary, and we conclude every celebration with today is day one of our next 100 years. So.
Yeah.
It's not a stop at 100 years. This is just a continuation to the next 100 years. And having a fifth generation family member there helps us all want to work a little harder so that we could pass it on to the next generation.
Andy?
And then for me, I have a daughter. She's at Western Michigan. Annie, if you're listening right now, the pressure's on.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I have a lot of nieces and nephews. So it's still a work in progress. They're young, and we'll see what happens.
But is that important to you?
Yeah, of course it's important. If we've made it this far, it would be nice to keep it going for a fourth generation. But we'll see what happens. We don't know.
You don't know, but it's interesting. It is important. And I, as I say, sitting here listening to it, thinking about, you know, if I were in that situation, it definitely would be important to me too. Well, Norm, we got some good tips.
Yeah, these guys are survivors, but they're innovators, and they offer a lot to their customers, and that's what's going to keep them going.
If something, in closing now, we've got a couple minutes left, if something were to, is there a general fear that you guys face when you go to, when you think about your business and the future and passing it on and so on? Is there something that you think, you know, this, if I'm going to get derailed or if this company is going to get derailed, where does it come from? I mean, is it competition? Is it
external threats? Is it level of the economy?
Get tired? I mean, you know, people get tired. Businesses change. Industries change.
Yeah, they're too busy to let the fear happen.
But, I mean, come on. You don't go to work without fear.
Well, definitely. I mean, it's competition, and what worries me is that if it becomes too complicated to stay in business from a regulatory kind of standpoint.
Regulatory issues, right.
And just costs and this sort of thing. And if you have to be a giant company to compete, then that's the threat for the smaller companies. But I don't think that we've had that kind of thinking for many years, and there's always the need for the smaller, more customer-oriented company. We're more nimble. We can react. We can change.
Right.
So, regulations is for everybody.
I don't know about you, Brett,
but
yeah, administration and regulations are becoming so enormous, exponentially increasing our cost. Anything from healthcare to any other type of regulation out there. So yes,
and the problem with that, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you've always got pricing pressure, you know, forcing pricing down.
Mm-hmm.
Due to speed, efficiencies, new materials, you know, new vendors that find new ways of production that wring out costs, new distribution methods that wring out costs. But, that's a tricky one because you've got the bureaucracy that can drive prices up. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough spot to be in.
Drives cost up, for sure.
Yeah, drives cost up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cost up. That's exactly right. Cost up. It doesn't necessarily drive prices up. And that's the problem. That's the problem.
That's what keeps us up at night.
Yeah, that's what keeps you up at night. Right. Interesting. All right, guys. Well, I have a feeling these businesses are in good hands, Norm.
They are.
Yep. They're going to be. You know what, Norm? We're going to be talking to the next generation 100 years from now, you and me, and finding out how they got to the next 100 years, all right? Is it a deal, Norm?
It's a deal.
All right, it's a deal. Hey, listen, guys. Brett, Andy, thanks so much for sharing your stories, your wisdom.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And keep it going.
Thank you.
Keep it going.
Every day.
Great show, Norm. Thanks for putting it together. Great edition of Startup Nation Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Join us, and it's time to get your dreams to make them come true. Let's do it on Startup Nation Radio.